it starts off strange. Usually the part starts off with a little Vayedaber Moshe, Vayedaber Hashem. This seems to be again, yet again, another parsha that's continuing from the parsha beforehand. We're Bo'aschana and Ekev Re'eh, but here it seems even more. It's Re'eh Anochi Nosen Lefnecha Mayom Bracha Kol. See that I put in front of you today, Bracha and Kol, something good and something bad. There's usually a message. Most of the Torah deals with the first couple of psukim in the parsha. What in the world is the message of Re'eh? It's as if we came in the middle of a conversation like we were already talking about something, and then it just says, see what I got. So three questions that you want to ask in the beginning. Number one, it says, Etzah Bracha Asher Tishmo Mitzvah Hashem Elokechem Asher Nechem Yisavetz Chalayom. The Bracha is that you will listen to the mitzvot that I command you today. Ba'klala Im Lo Tishmo. If you don't listen to the Mitzvah Hashem Elokechem, it starts made a derech, and you turn away from the way. Lechaz Elohim Acherim Sholei Da'atem, and you'll go after gods that you don't know. Number one, we start with Bracha with the word Asher. It says, Asher Tishmo, that you will listen to. A lashon of you will, because this is what happens. While by a klala it says the word im tishmu, if you will listen, if you will listen, if you will not listen, I should say, if you end up doing something wrong, what's the difference between the word asher and the word im? Number two, what does re'eh mean? See, as if it's brand new that you've never heard of before, what is that word re'eh coming to tell us? See what? What are we trying to see over here? Number three, what is the bracha on the klala referred to over here? The bracha on the klala that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us, what is it? What are we talking about? Are we talking about real brachos and real klalos? Because if it is, it doesn't belong over here. It belongs in Parshas Kisavo when he goes through the Tokacha, when he goes through the actual curses that Bnei Yisrael got. What exactly are we referring to? Another question you can ask is, what does it mean, Hayom? You're going to get it today. What does today mean over here? Hayom, bracho, klal. Says the Chasam Sofer. He says the following. We know that brachos given here, anything you get in this world, is not a reward for mitzvahs that you do. You can't be rewarded for mitzvahs that you do. It's, the example is so obvious. It's something there. Rav Dessler says it. The greatest reward in this world, think of the greatest thing you can think of. The greatest thing you can think of, okay? Now, think about having it every second of your life. Think about having that every single second of your life. The greatest tannah that you can possibly imagine. Think of having that every second of your life. Now, think of every person on earth with that tannah for every second of their lives as well. And now add on every person from the beginning of time until the end of time and all the great things that had happened to them. Add it all together and put it in like one little box. Whatever you got, all of that pleasure is not even like a whiff of Olam Haba from the outside. Not even like the reach of what Olam Haba smells like on the outside. Olam Haba is incomparable. For any mitzvah that you get, any reward that you would get in this world is it's unattainable. You can't get that much reward in this world. It would be impossible. There's nothing to do. So you can't get reward in this world. So what's pshat? That's the idea of schar mitzvah b'chayal malacha. We say there's another concept. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. You want to get a reward for a mitzvah? It's another mitzvah. Rewards are given to you when you do something good so that you're prepared to do another mitzvah. It's the concept we're going to get to of Aser Bishil Shatis Asher. Take off Maitzer and give tzedakah so you become rich and you can do the whole mitzvah all over again. That's the concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be able to do Maitzeros, Truma, to be able to take off these things from your heart. So in order to do that, you have to be rich enough to own a field. And to own a field, you're going to have to be able to take off Trumas and Maitzeros. There's going to have to be something there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be able to do mitzvahs. That's the concept. He's giving you wealth, not as a reward for doing mitzvahs, but as a preparation to do more mitzvahs and do more and more and more. And if he wants to punish you because you didn't do the right thing, then he punishes you with that ability to do mitzvahs. His punishment is you're not going to be able to do any mitzvahs anymore. You're going to lose your field and you lost your chance to do Truma and Maaser. That's the concept. That's what we're trying to get at. We're saying the bracha is going to be that you're going to be prepared for the next time you want to do a mitzvah. You're going to have money in your pocket so when a mashulach comes along and asks for a dollar, you'll have a dollar to give to him. That's the bracha. And the klala is you won't be prepared. You won't have a dollar in your pocket. Are you chayiv to give money to tzedakah if you don't have a dollar in your pocket? Are you chayiv to borrow money in order to give a mashulach any money? Of course not, right? That's a klala. You missed out on a mitzvah say because you didn't have money in your pocket. That's a klala. Within that itself, re'eh, see the great chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. He prepares things for us. He allows us to think, to take out money beforehand, before we go to shacharis, that we have money available for when a mashulach comes in. And the klala is the exact same way, that we don't think about it. That's exactly what it would be. And unfortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also takes our money and destroys it in order to give us a kapara. We all know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed so that the Jews didn't have to be killed even more. If the Beis HaMikdash was, HaKadosh Baruch to call his wrath out on the Eitzim Ba'avanim, on the stones and the sticks that were there by the Beis HaMikdash, that we wouldn't have to die. That idea is exactly what happens to us in our money. When we lose money for whatever reason, we parked on the wrong side of the street, we didn't realize that it was street cleaning, and you went to a 9 o'clock minion. And all of a sudden you look up, you come back, it's 9:45 and you got a ticket on your windshield. It's $75 or $50 or whatever it is, and you're sitting there, oh, why did that just happen? It's because you were chayiv in something, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu took it out on your money instead of you yourself. That's the concept of, it's not a question of punishing you in this world. The punishment for an Avera is not applicable for this world, but there's something called Yisurin. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu, through his great Rachamim, allows a kapara to happen through something else in order for you to get away from getting anything in there. And that's the concept of Hayom. So let's go through those questions again. We said, why does it say Asher by the Bracha and Im by the curse? It's Asher because we want you to do it. It's Osher. It's riches that are being given to you within the Bracha so that you can do the rest of the brachas that are out there. Im, if you don't listen, then it's going to come out to something else. Re'eh, the something new is, this is what you're getting. It's not a reward. It's something that's coming to you because Hashem wants you to do something else. Hashem wants you to do another reward. Number three, what's the bracha on the kol refer to? It's a bracha on the kol in and of itself. It's referring to the money that you have to be able to allow you to do certain things, and that also explains the ayom. The perfect example is tzedakah. You can't give a better example of that, and the fact that tzedakah appears in this week's parsha shows you that the connection in this week's parsha is all about that. It's all about, what are you going to do with your time, your money, everything? What are you going to do with it? If a person uses his wealth wisely, you can get brachos from your money, and it's an unbelievable gift. But there are certain people who will tell you, getting great wealth is a tremendous curse. I just read in an article the other day about a person who won the lottery. She won it with her husband, or ex-husband, I don't know. That's one of those hick things. I don't know if they were really married or not. There was a husband, but I don't know if they were really, whatever. It could have been brother and sister, that's possible. I have no idea. But either way, but they knew each other, and they were living together, but they weren't married, or they were sort of married. Either way, she bought the lottery ticket, she won $139 million. Okay, we're talking about a trailer park trash. Okay, so I hope she's not yours, the blushing horror, but regardless, let's assume that, right? And at the end of the day, she got into a fight with her husband. She said, I want it. He said, I'm part of it. And either way, she beat him up. That he beat her up. And there's a mugshot of both of them. Like, they stabbed each other. They both went to jail. And you see her with, like, this huge black eye. And, like, all beaten up. And you can see. And he's, like, standing like, the scariest man I've ever seen before in my life. You know, like, somebody you don't want to mess with. And you're sitting there. And this is what happened. She had to disappear. She ran away from her old hometown. She ran away from all the money she had. And whatever it was, she had to take it and just disappear. That's what happens. Sometimes getting all this money can be a curse. Qualified, some of us should have this curse, but it's been said that winning the lottery can be a klala as well as a bracha. Listen, I've never envied the people who have that much money, who are able to give that much money to everybody, and they're surrounded by people all the time coming up to them. Can I have this loan? Can I have that loan? Can you give me this? Can you get just whatever it is? Listen, obviously it would be a tremendous bracha to have money, but too much money could be a klala in and of itself. That's the concept of what it is. The Gan Rava, brings up the pasuk later on in the parsha. It says, Nason titain lo. You should surely give him money. Whenever you see somebody in the street, somebody who's extremely poor, Nason titain lo. You should give him everything that you have. And that's the concept behind it. It's in the Pasuk of, let's find it over here. Here we go, Pasuk Yud. Parak Tasvav Pasuk Yud. Okay, after that, it says, surely give him.
What about, like, the random guys
in,
like, the
Devon
McCormick?
No, specifically Devon McCormick, featuring McCormick. Stomp off the record. Considering what I'm saying, off the record in of itself, I've always thought to myself, what am I going to use this dollar for if I don't give it to him? Or the change that I have in the side of my car, I usually give them change. What am I going to use it for? I'm going to use it for a Coke. Can I say to myself, I'll give it a... Good. I'm talking about cocaine, though. Either way, I'm going to use it to buy a Coke. I'm going to use it to buy a candy. I'm going to use it to buy what? You know what I'm saying? Like, this change is not going anywhere. So I go ahead, and if I give that change over that guy, all it means that I'm losing, you know, like a Coke. I'm not saying you should give him like a 10 or a 20. If you have a sandwich on you, you don't really need the sandwich. Give him a sandwich. See what he does with it. You know, a cookie or something like that. Give him whatever. If it's something that's, like, really small, then fine. Whether or not these guys actually deserve tzedakah, as Aryeh might have pointed out before, I don't know. These guys are a little strange. But, like, I try to do that. You try to give them a little bit. But you don't... there probably is no chiyuv by them. But we will speak about them in a way. You should surely give it. Surely give it. Right after it says, below, your heart should not be upset when you give it over to him. Now, what does that mean? Why not just say v'lo yira levokcha? What is besitkolo? You just said nesan tzivonlo, you should give it to him. So what's besitkolo? What does that mean? Yoredeo. Reish mem zayin. The Torah says that a person should never say to himself, how can I give money to poor people? I'm going to lose out on money for myself. I'm not going to be able to afford anything. I'm going to lose everything I have. Says the Torah, the only way to gain money and to get more money later on is by giving tzedakah. It's been tried and tested for years and generations, says the Torah, that Meiser only adds to your wealth. It never takes away. That's why the pasuk says, Nason titen lo, you should surely give him. Because you know you won't lose anything for it. But lo yera levavka, it won't be evil besitlo when you give it to him. The purpose of giving it to him is because it's all there for you to be able to gain from it. That's the idea behind it. Lo yera levavka, don't dwell on this. Don't think to yourself, am I really going to get back the money? One guy tested me a year and a half ago, and he said that when I sent him this idea that you're going to get the money back, he said, no way I'm going to get the money back. And he gave $5 tzedakah. I can promise you, within the day, he found $5 in the street right outside his car. Now, granted, it won't happen every time. I give you that. Just only when you argue. Only when you test them. It's going to happen. It's going to happen every time. Other times, you just don't recognize it. It's that somehow you forgot about this money or something. You found something that you never would have. Whatever it was, something will happen. You won't even realize it, but it happens later on. That's the concept behind it. It allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be chala bracha on you that you never thought was going to happen. You're going to become wealthier because of it. Chulin, Kuf Yudim Abayz says, Beis Din is not allowed to force a mitzvah upon somebody if the reward for that mitzvah is written in the pasuk. For example, keep it of the aim. It says in the pasuk, you're going to end up having length of life. Orech yamin is the promise given for keep it of the aim. You cannot force a person to do that mitzvah saseh. Beis Din cannot force the person to do that mitzvah saseh because the schar is written right down next to it. Matan schar abitzida. Says the Gemara, you can't force a person to do it. But we force rich men to give tzedakah. And Baal Basra Dabches, all over the place, we see that everybody's forcing people to give tzedakah. One after the other, some person is going up to the other person and saying, you have to give tzedakah, and making the people give. How can you do that? It says right here in the pasuk, Aser Bishvil Shetis Asher. You're going to get rich so that you're going to give Meiser so that you get rich. Granted, it says Aser to Aser. I'm sorry? It's a Torah, you're right, but Aser to Aser. But we darshan from the pasuk. Technically, the reward is right there. Technically, I hear it. But technically, the reward is right there. Tosos asks this question. Tosos over there in Chulin asks the Kasha. Okay, so it's not just Stam. It must be that it's based on the pasuk itself. So what's going on? How do we understand that? Why do we force tzedakah? The answer is simple. This is not a reward. You're not being rewarded by giving Meiser. All it's doing is not allowing you to lose. That's what it's doing. Aser b'shvil shetis asher does not mean you're going to gain necessarily. You're going to get a reward necessarily. That's not what it's all about. Instead, give your Meiser so that you remain status quo. That you're not going to lose out from it. That's the concept behind it. And that's why it's allowed to be forced, because there is no matzen schar b'tzida. All it is telling you, just do it so that you don't lose out on any money. And this is the reason why. There's no other mitzvah that requires you to give of yourself as much as tzedakah does. It's a real giving. Granted, all mitzvahs, you have to lose your time, you might have to pay money, you might have to do this and that and the other. This is literally giving of your money to other people. There's a legitimate taina of, I made this money, so why should I give it away to other people? This is what tzedakah is all about. Tzedakah is that Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, no, it's my money, I decide what to do with it, and nonetheless, you're still not going to lose from it. It's an unbelievable gift that we're being given. How can we say in Bava Kama? It's mentioned in Daf Nun Vav that one gets benefit by watching an Aveda, by Shomer Aveda. If you're watching a lost item that you find in the street, you get benefit. Why do you get benefit? Anybody remember? Nisani, the Pruta de Rav Yosef is the line. What's Pruta de Rav Yosef? That if an Ani comes to the door while you're taking care of the lost object, you don't have to answer the door. You don't have to give any money because you're in the midst of a mitzvah. So once you're involved in a mitzvah, you're potter. Always a mitzvah, potter min mitzvah, right? I'm sorry?
Ever?
Only when you're dealing with the object. When you're dealing with it, you're potter. But that's hana. For those couple seconds, you get hana. So wait a second. It's not hana. It's not a hana. It's good for you to give tzedakah. If you give tzedakah, good things are going to happen for you. I don't understand. What is this? The answer is, it only happens if you give it for the right reasons. This is the concept, says the Gan Rava. The only reason that you get it, in a way, because you're giving more. There's three Gemaras, Abba Chilkia, the Gemara in Tainus and Daf Chav Gimel, and brought down by Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus, by, I forgot where, Bab Metzi, I think Nun Tes, but I don't remember. The third Gemara, offhand, I don't remember. All three of them say that it's better to do Gemil's Chassanim than Tzedakah. Because Gemil's Chassanim does extra for the person, it helps the person a lot more than just giving them money. things like that. That's 100% true. But how is this a benefit by going ahead and not getting it? Here's the pshat. It's only an assurance that you're going to become rich if you do it for the right reasons. If you give Meisr specifically to become rich, you're not going to get the gift. The gift doesn't come automatically. The gift only comes, the only way that you become rich is if you're thinking, I'm doing this because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's when Aser B'Shvil Shetzis Asher goes. But if you do it specifically to become rich, then it's not going to happen necessarily. It's not always going to happen. I will tell you a story, 100% it's true, happened with me. It's my third year in Beis Yisrael, right after Pesach break. It was the first Musar Shmuz of the Zman, where Brazil, who was the Mashkiach at the time, was speaking up in front. Now, I had a minug to sit all the way up front because I always fell asleep during the Musar Shmuz. It's a good thing I'm a Mashkiach now, right? But I always fell asleep every single time. So I used to sit up front so that I would feel bad falling asleep, and then somebody would kick me and I would have to wake up and I wouldn't be able to fall asleep. So it happened every single time. So I was sitting all the way up front, and I was sitting right near the Rosh Hashiva's table, and the Rosh Hashiva was sitting there, the Mashkiach was speaking, and suddenly a woman appeared at the back of the Beis Medrash. So the Rosh Hashiva turned to me and said, Tzvi, go check out what she needs. So I went outside, and the woman starts bawling. Starts absolutely bawling. I need to speak to the Rosh Hashiva, I need right now, and I'm just like, what's going on? She's like, I need money, I don't know what to do, and she pulls out this stack of papers. She was like, I have medical issues, this and that and the other. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I started reading them, I couldn't understand a word. I was third year in Israel. Okay, third year guys in Israel don't know Hebrew. I mean, especially in base, I didn't know Hebrew until my eighth year, maybe. I knew Yiddish more than I knew Hebrew. So I was like sitting there, and I was like, I don't know what to say, whatever it is. I'm like, I don't know what to do. She's like, I need money now. You have to stop this speech, she was telling me, and I was just like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I can't stop anything, but he's done in 10 minutes, you can ask them. She's like, no, I need it now. She's like, I walk back in the basement, I go up to the Roshiva, and again, because I'm sitting in front, so like everybody's staring at me, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do. She's like going crazy. The Roshiva gets up, he goes out there, checks out the person, and he's just like, I don't know if she's telling me the truth. And I'm just like, what do you mean? She's crying. And then she was like, I don't know, whatever it is. So after the speech was over, so you know, he wasn't going to get pulled by. So he got up afterward, and he said, listen, there's a woman in back, she's looking for money. If anybody wants to give their Meisr money that they brought back or Shlech Mitzvah Geld, you can go to her now and give it to her. I can't verify if she's a real Ani or not. So the people came out. Now, okay, understand this. 100 people in base, right, who are coming back with Shlech Mitzvah money, a lot of them are very, very wealthy New Yorkers / Miamiers and LAers, right, people from out there. And I came out, I started collecting the money for this person. It was all together, we're talking, this woman made it big. We're talking tens, it must have been like 10,000 shekels. It was about $3,500 that I ended up collecting from her. Everybody's pulling out hundreds and whatever, and like everything that I couldn't believe it. And I'm collecting this stack of money, and she's like looking there, whatever it was, and she said she was too weak to stand, whatever it was. And I was like, okay. And I counted up, she made me count it up for her. There was like money and shekel and whatever, and I put it all together, gave it to her. She's like, thank you so much, and whatever it was, and she like thanks me, and then she starts walking out. I'm just like, that's weird. But she said she was too sick to walk. She walks out, immediately a car pulls up, she gets in the car, 3 other guys in the car, and then she drives away. I'm just like, that's awkward. So I started thinking about it. Then all of a sudden I heard there was a woman that was doing this in all the yeshivas throughout all of Eretz Yisrael. She went around that one time, and she went around and she just collected money from everybody. She was a complete fake and everything. So what do you do about something like that? This is a famous line. Famous line, the Miyam Lois brings down from the Sofnas Panayat in this week's Parsha. Be grateful to the fakers. Why should you be grateful to the fakers? Because now when you don't give, you at least have a small excuse. I thought they were faking it. When you go up to Shrine and a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, why didn't you give to that poor person? You had a dollar in your wallet, why didn't you give him? You can say, well, I didn't give him because I thought he was faking it. And God's like, okay, I hear you. And that's that. Sofnas Panayat says, you should thank them. You should pay them for the fact that they're getting you out of Gehenna. That's the reason why. Otherwise, you'd be punished every time you had a dollar in your pocket and you didn't give it to a poor person. You're going to be punished for it. Now at least you won't be punished. Rav Moshe Levi Sassover, the Sassover Rebbe, says in the Tanya Menachem, you have a Taina in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you can go up to Hashem while you're giving the tzedakah and say, see Hashem, I'm giving money to somebody who I don't think deserves it. So you should give to me even though I don't deserve it. Pretty good, right? You have a real claim. When you're giving to somebody who you really think is bogus, let's not say the guy in Devon McCormick, well, probably, the Devon McCormick / Tui McCormick / everywhere guy, right? That guy who's out there, if you think that he's not getting it, he looks like he's 19 years old and he just came back from a movie.
Also lose all her clothes at the store. He can be a model, he's really.
There's some good stuff, guy. I'm not going to go that far. But either way, the time you know, says you have that claim and you can go up and you can mamish say that claim in front of them. You can say, this is a real claim in front. That's the idea of divine. Okay. When a person comes into the world, says Reb Meir, a child, a little baby when he's born, his hands are balled up into fists. I'll tell you, one of the first things you do when you have a baby, I've done it by every single one of my kids, all five of them, every single one, I look at his fingers and I count them because it looks like there's 37 fingers on there. They're so tiny, they're tiny little balled hands. You're just like, oh my gosh, there's like six fingers on each hand. I don't know what to do. The first thing I do is count. But it is true, when they come out, they're all like angry and upset. You can see them. They're turning like all whatever, and they have their hands like that. When a person dies, there's a chiyuv to put his hands out like that, to keep his hands spread out. And the pshat is, says the Gan Rav, and it's the exact same thing. When you come into the world, the whole world is yours. You're being selfish. You want to say, give everything to me. I want everything for myself. When you leave the world, you're showing everybody, I'm coming out with nothing. I'm coming out with absolutely nothing. At the end of the day, I keep none of my money. It's not going anywhere with me. It's not going to Olam Haba. I have nothing. And that's the pshat. Lo tikpot es yodecha, says in Pasuk Zayin. Do not close up your hands when you're giving tzedakah. Pasuch tiktak es yodecha. Open up your hands. That's the pshat when it comes to tzedakah. Know that it's not going to stay with you anyway. Give over to him. The Gros says another reason why it says pasuch tiktak. The famous remez that not every poor person deserves the same amount. Some people came from richer families and therefore deserve a little bit more than other people do. Pasuach tiftach es yadcha, says the Gra. Open up your hand. You see how every finger is different size? Every finger is a different size to say every poor person is different. You can't give to the middle finger what you would give to the pinky. The pinky just isn't the same. And if you would, that's silly. They're different. Look at them. It's clearly a different size. That's the concept, says the Gra. Give it in different ways, and that's the idea. Chazal says that we don't have that much time, so we're not going to go with that for right now. Another way to be able to give tzedakah is to be able to say the words Aser b'shil shetis asher. Now wait a second, so we just set up above, if you do miser in order to get rich, right, then it doesn't work. Because we just said you got to do it l'shem shemayim, you got to do it in the right way. It's not going to work that way. Here's the pshat, says the Kedushas Levi. Rav Lizzie Mirditchev says that every time you give tzedakah, you should say to yourself the line Aser b'shvil shetis asher. I'm giving off 1/10 of whatever I make in order to get rich, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu promised me that. Not because you want to get rich. In other words, leave out the fact that I want riches and that's the reason why. I'm doing it in order for it to really happen. That's the concept. Once you do it for that reason, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu was involved, then it becomes real. The Chassam Sofer says the famous Yisachar Zvulun relationship. They have a partnership between each other, right? Zvulun loses a bit in Olam Hazeh. He loses his money, but he gains in Olam Haba. Yisachar loses a little bit in Olam Haba. He loses a little bit of his learning, but he gains in Olam Hazeh. Side note, and parenthetically, I always thought that when you have Yisachar's Zvulun relationship, Yisachar still gets as much Torah as he learned, and it's all there. And just that what ends up happening is that his learning is shared by the rich person who paid for him. That's what I always assumed. According to the Chassam Sofer, Yisachar's Zvulun relationship means literally you lose half your learning. If the guy pays to you half of his paycheck, you lose half your learning. Like if you knew brachos, I don't know, you knew brachos and Shabbos, let's say. So you'll keep one of the mesechtas, but you'll lose the other one. You lose the entire other mesechta. That's the Yisachar's Zvulun relationship. And if the guy gives you 10% of his earnings, then he gets 10% of your learning. If he has 40% of your 40% of his money, he gets 40% of your learning. However it works, Yisachar's Zvulun relationship, that's how it ends up being. Okay. Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha, v'yisachar bo'alecha, is the bracha given to them by Moshe Rabbeinu. Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha, v'yisachar bo'alecha. Zvulun is happy when he goes out to do business. Yisachar is happy when he's in his tents. It's the opposite. Says the Chassam Sofer. Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha means Zvulun is happy when he leaves the world. When Zvulun leaves the world and he goes into Olam Haba, that's when he's happy. In Olam Hazeh, he's losing out on his money. He thinks, what am I gaining? What am I getting? But when he goes into Olam Haba, when he leaves the world, that's when he's happy. Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha v'yisachar, he's only happy bo'alecha. When he's in the tents learning in Olam Hazeh, when he's in the base medrash in Olam Hazeh, that's when he's happy. But he's not happy when he leaves this world because he loses half of his learning. That's the idea of smach zvulun b'tzeisecha v'yisachar bo'alecha. Wouldn't it be better if Yisachar could pay for himself? If Yisachar would take care of himself and he wouldn't need his zvulun? It would be unbelievable. It would be so much better. Now nowadays, you really can't complain that much. All kolels pay. Kolel back in the day did not pay. You're one of the Atzorvat Lanim, you still have to work. You still have to do something, or your wife had to work, or something had to happen. You didn't get paid from the city. It didn't normally happen that way. Sure, there were Atzorvat Lanim, but Atzorvat Lanim were literally that. They were about Lanim, they never, who says they got paid for it? It's a famous Yavitz, you should know, in Pirkei Avos, that argues on the Rambam, who says that you should never go into Kolo. And the Yavitz says, what is he talking about? The Rambam himself was in Kolo. It's a famous Rabbi Yaakov Emden. It's mentioned in Perek Dalid in Pirkei Avos. An unbelievable Rabbi Yaakov Emden. It's something to look up. But he goes through and he says there were very few people who ended up getting paid. They literally sacrificed their lives to learn. Listen, God, you've all been to Meir Sharon. Would you want to live in a one-bedroom apartment with 7 or 8 kids? I mean, it's ridiculous. Not all of them are collecting in America. Most of them are just sitting there learning all day, every day, with absolutely no money, and they wouldn't even accept tzedakah if you offered it to them. Even if you go up to their apartments and you say to them, here, take $100, they wouldn't take it. They're not like that. Those are the people that are really learning, the people that are really in charge. So how does Yisachar do it? How is he going to be able to learn if he's not going to have any money in this world and he's not going to have his zvulin? What's he going to do? Aser, bishvil shetit asher. Take off miser. And then you'll become rich. However much money the Yisachar makes, even if it's a tiny, tiny amount, if he takes off Meiser, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows this bracha to be chal, and he'll end up having enough money to live. It may not be enough money for you to live, because we have more needs. I was able to live in a three-bedroom apartment, but it sounds weird. A three-bedroom apartment about the size of this room when I lived in Eretz Yisrael. Now, come on, how do you not have a den? I mean, come on, how does that work? Right? That's a basement? I mean, you gotta have a basement and a backyard. I mean, I couldn't live without my deck, right? And where do they play basketball? What, you have to go to the park? No, you can't. You gotta have it right there on the side of your house. It's ridiculous. When I first came to America, I still remember I didn't need a car. I came inside, I said, I don't need a car. I'm never gonna need a car. I'll be perfectly fine. I'll walk to show, I'll walk back. I'll take the bus if I need to go somewhere else. I'll be perfectly fine. After a week, I was like, all right, I'm done. I need a car. That was it. You couldn't live without it. You can't do it. You can't do it here. It's just impossible. And then it just becomes the food business. Just like, you have like a little bite of something and you throw everything else out. It's just totally different. It's a different lifestyle. It's a totally different world. It's a completely different world. That's the pshat in trying to understand this matzav ha'olotov. Okay, I promised I was going to say over a sfas emes. So I have to look this up really quickly before. And yes, Yosef, it was just for you. Okay, but there is a sfas emes over here. It says, in Perek Yudal Pasuk Chav Gimel, and this is how we're going to end with this idea. The idea is, you should take off Meiser, it's referring to Meiser Sheni. You'll eat in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the Meiser of your grain and everything, so that you can learn. So you can fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the days of your life. Now, according to what I just said, it makes a lot of sense. Man Tilmad, the whole purpose of Aser to Aser, in order to take Meiser off so that you become rich, is so that you can learn more. That's the idea. Okay. Right there, that would make sense to Ron Toma. And then Tzivak, very, very simply, Ron Toma has nothing to do. What is learning? Have anything to do with taking Meiser off your grain? What does it have to do with anything? What happens? So Netziv says an easy answer. Netziv says, I'm sorry?
To learn the
Yira. Laman Tilma, the Hashem, right, so that you learn how to fear God. So it really seems to be, yeah, I hear it. It just seems to be that there's a limud involved. What's the limud? You take off Meiser, all of a sudden you fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Laman Liyiras Hashem. You don't even have to say Laman Tilmad. Liyiras Hashem, so you fear God. What are you learning from? What's the limud? What's the limud that we're trying to learn out here? So here's what the Netziv says. Meiser Sheni is only eaten in Yerushalayim, right? So you've got to bring your fruits up to Yerushalayim. So you have a lot of fruit from the whole year. There's no way you're going to be able to finish it within the regal. So what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to stay there a little bit after the regal. After the regal is over, what are you going to do? All the people in Yerushalayim go back to work. You're going to have to sit there and wait until all your food is used up. So what are you going to do? Very simple answer. You know what you do? You sit and learn. You sat and learned. You learned from the people that were in Yerushalayim, the Levim, the Kohanim, everybody that was there. You sat and you learned with them. So the whole purpose of Meiser Sheni is to make you go up to Yerushalayim to eat it. When you go to Yerushalayim, you're going to have extra time. What are you going to do with that extra time? Laman Tomat. That's the purpose of the mitzvah, says, and it's a really, really unbelievable idea. And that's Meiser Kesafim as well, but that's not for right now. One answer from the Sfas Emes. Eating, Bikdusha, eating something in holiness, and being kaddish when you do it, is a way of being metakin your own nefesh. Right before this, we talk about the animals that are kosher and what are not kosher. Why can't you eat kosher? Why can't you eat not kosher food? Why do you have to eat kosher food? Because not kosher food is metamtim as a lave. It destroys your heart. It doesn't let you think clearly. It clouds your mind and makes you think of things that you never would have thought of before. The doubts that you have of, I don't know, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that, maybe Judaism isn't real, all comes from bad foods, from non-kosher or food that is questionably kosher that you're eating and putting inside your mouth. And when you do that, you destroy yourself. You destroy your whole idea. Everything about you is completely destroyed. A way of becoming kosher is being metaken your mouth, fixing up your food, and making sure you eat the right things. And that connects with the next parsha. Meiser Sheni, eating in Yerushalayim is a way of being metaken your food. You're fixing up your food and you're eating in the holiest place while you're learning. This is the pshat. You want to be able to learn Leman Tomad. You want to be able to learn Torah. First, make sure you fix up what you're putting in your mouth. Make sure you take off meiser. Make sure you eat the right kosher foods. That way, Leman Tomad. And it's tofu and nefesh. That's the lesson that you're learning from it. An unbelievable lesson from all this. So the basic idea of what we went through is the re'eh itself, the brachas that we get in this world are only hachanos. They're preparations for something later on. And then we went into how to give tzedakah. We gave a bunch of different ramazim about tzedakah and giving tzedakah. And we said at the very end the Yisachar's Zvulun relationship, how it works and how it connects with one another. And the last thing we said was Leman Tomad. So that you learn, we gave three answers to Leman Tomad. From the Kedushas Levi, because that allows you to learn. That's how you get money to be able to learn. Number two, from the Netziv, that's eaten in Yerushalayim, you'll be able to have extra time to learn. And number three comes from the Chassam Sofer, from the Sfasemis himself. Sfasemis says, if you eat correctly, you'll be able to learn better. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbat.